Hello, I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. Welcome to our worship stream today. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community or neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling love of God that he pours in our hearts through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Spirit. You are welcome to our worship stream, and if you have any prayer requests, please don't hesitate to send them to us. We will pray for and with you. I know there's a lot going on in our individual and familial lives, as well as in our nation. And there is nothing as powerful as the gift of prayer that God has given to us. If you have any comments, please don't hesitate to share those as well. We would love to read your comments. Wednesday was Veterans Day, and I just want to sincerely say a heartfelt thank you to all the veterans and their families for your service to our nation and for your sacrifice to our nation. We salute your sacrifice and your selfless service to our nation that we all can learn from. As we go through the aftermath of elections, I want to still encourage all of us to pray for and do and say the things that makes for peace. I know there are a number of people who are elated and happy, and then there are people who are dejected and disappointed. Let us be reflectors of light where there is darkness. Let us bring love where there is hate. And let us continue to look up to Jesus Christ as the sovereign one who is in control, that in him and with him and through him, God expresses his love towards us, and he is with us in whatever circumstances we are in, as we mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice as Christians, depending on him, that is, on God through Christ by the power of his Spirit, to see us through whatever circumstances that we face. Last week, I shared with you the ministry avenue of hope. And we saw that hope flows out of our understanding, the relational understanding of who God is, his nature, his character, and his promises revealed in Christ Jesus. And this hope then is expressed in worship. And for us at Grace Communion Richardson, hope drives our vision and mission in the area of worship. And so I shared that with you today. I will continue the focus on hope, but with a more explanation on the practical implications of what it means for us to have hope in the area of worship, what that means, because worship becomes an expression of our response to God's goodness and what that means in practical terms. I will pause this series that we are on, which we've entitled We Are GCR. I will pause it next week to talk about Thanksgiving, and then we will continue the following week as I share with you about faith. Right now, I want to address Grace Communion Richardson members and our supporters, and those of you out there who share our values, to say thank you for your generous financial support of our gospel work. Your financial donations are tax deductible, and they are very helpful in spreading hope, in pointing people to Jesus, in letting people know that they are not alone and do not have to do life alone. If you are moved to support our gospel effort, you can see on the screen the various ways that you can do so. And we are sincerely grateful and thank you. Right now, I would like to invite you to join our praise team for a praise song, and then I will come back for the message for today. Please stay with us.
Sovereign God, hear my prayers for this nation and this world. The president carries an enormous burden. Decisions made by this president or any of our presidents, affect the lives of people not only in our nation, but all over the world. He especially needs your touch to lead. Strengthen and bless him, Lord. Give him wisdom and grace. In these uncertain times of transition, stress over the COVID, we put our trust in you, Holy God. You instructed Jeremiah to tell your people, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. Its welfare you will find, in its welfare you will find your welfare. So hear our prayers, O God, for the cities, for how large is your heart toward the cities in their sin and misery. We pray that our cities will see miracles of reconciliation and lasting harmony. As the scourge of the COVID-19 continues to be a threat to our world, and as the virus wreaks havoc with our economies, let these life issues send us desperate and running to the risen Lord, our only hope, Jesus Christ. O Jesus, for this you died, that you might reconcile hopeless, hostile people to you and to all, to each other. See in our cities what you saw in Nineveh, and have mercy again to bring revival and show forth your great mercy. May we be the voice of hope, especially as we move into this Advent season. Please give us a willing heart to pray for our nation, for our world, and for our trust and hope in you to be realized and to know you are the coming Savior. We thank you and ask all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Now for the main message for today. And before we get into it, let me say a word of prayer. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Spirit, thank you for this day that you have made that we can rejoice in with you. Thank you that we can come before you in worship, and thank you that we can learn from your written word, which points us to the living word, our Savior Jesus Christ, and that in Jesus, who is our hope, we can have hope. And we can share this hope in a world that desperately needs it. So thank you for opening our hearts and minds through your Spirit to hear your word, to be transformed by your word, to live it out, to share it, and to glorify your most holy name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, last week, I discussed the incredible gift of hope that God gives to us in Jesus. That this hope results in worship. It doesn't make any sense to worship if you don't have hope. Hope engenders worship. And we talked about the fact that we have this hope because hope itself is a confident and joyous expectation of receiving and experiencing the nature, the character, and the promises of God, which are all in Jesus. Hope springs from our relational knowledge of God, who God is, the goodness of God. And that springing forth of hope results in worship. Today I want to continue on this subject, but hopefully focus a little bit more on the practical implications within worship. Worship, not just as individuals, but more so worship as a body, as a congregation, as a church, as a community of believers. So, what is Christian hope? We looked at that last week. We said that it is a confident, it's not just the way we use the word in everyday language, or I hope to do well in math, or I hope I will be able to travel someday. That's not the hope that we are talking about. This hope is a Christian hope, is a confident and joyful expectation of receiving and experiencing God's promises, God's nature, God's character. And God's promises flow from His nature and His character. In other words, the nature and character of God leads to the promises that He has given to you and to me. And these are all revealed, they are experienced, they are accepted in Jesus Christ and nowhere else. And so because of God's nature, God's character, and God's promises revealed in His Son, we have hope. And Jesus Himself then is our hope, because in Him are all the things that God is to us. So Christ is our hope. And we respond out of this knowledge of who God is in worship. So hope leads to worship. And this hope that flows from the relational knowing of the nature, character, and promises of God, which leads to worship, is active. In other words, it is not passive. It leads to action. It leads to certain ways of behaving. It leads to certain ways of thinking. It leads to certain ways of mooding, certain attitudes and perspectives that we have. Now, worship is both individual and it is communal. We worship as individuals, and I hope that you worship as an individual and you worship as family, if you have a family, and that you worship with other believers, other people of hope, because the nature of God and the character of God and the promises of God, the goodness and love of God, is inclusive. It is not exclusive. It is such that is shared with others once we come to understand it, receive it, and experience it. And so worship is both individual as well as communal, as well as corporate. We gather together as a community of believers in hope. And that hope leads to our prayer life, it leads to our praising, it leads to fellowshipping, reminding ourselves of who God is in Jesus, His love nature, His goodness, His grace, His forgiveness, His protection and provision for us, His victory and gift of the resurrection for us. Hope affirms all of that in worship. And so Jesus, as I said last Sunday, is our banner for worship. He is the core of our worship. He is the center of the center of our worship. Why? Because all of what and who God is, all of who God's nature is and character is and promises are to us, are experienced, received in Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus is our hope. And this hope that leads to worship comes about, friend, because we recognize how good God is and how gracious and loving God is, so that no matter what it is that we are going through, we accept His promises and we live out our lives on the basis of that confident acceptance, joyous acceptance and expectation of what God has promised, because we recognize that God is good. We recognize that God is faithful. We recognize that God is a being of His word. It is impossible for God to lie. We recognize that God fulfills that which He says. His promises and His words do not come back to Him unfulfilled. We learn all of this in relationship with God and with each other through His Spirit. And that gives us hope that we are not alone in this world. That gives us hope that when we fall, we will be raised up again. That gives us hope that even death cannot separate us from the incredible love of God for us, which is in Jesus, because Jesus is Lord over death. We recognize that sickness and disease does not vanquish us because Jesus is Lord over sickness and disease. We recognize that whatever addictions that we face and struggle with will not vanquish us because Jesus is Lord over whatever addictions that we are struggling with. So this is where hope lives. This is where hope springs from. And it leads to worship. And we talked about Luke chapter 15 as a context for understanding this nature and character and promise or promises of God. When we look at the stories of the lost and found sheep, the lost and found coin, and the lost and found son in Luke 15. Jesus told these three stories in response to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law's attitude of rejecting people. And He told these stories to illustrate that they, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, did not understand the nature, the character, and the promises of God. That is why they are rejecting their fellow human being. That if you understand the nature, the character, and the promises of God, then you will know and understand that God loves you. God seeks you. God finds you. God welcomes you. God celebrates and rejoices in you. God places value on you as a result of that love that He has for you. And God invites us all to join Him in welcoming and valuing each other. That's the story of Luke chapter 15. Well, it's not just one story, it's three stories. But that's the import of those stories. The practical implication of hope we find in Luke 15 is that God loves us. God does not hold our weaknesses and our sins and our lostness, our wandering away against us. That He welcomes us, that He seeks us, that He looks out for us, and He rejoices and celebrates. And we should do the same with each other. See, so that becomes the posture for worship. Because the posture of hope, if God is this way, then it is going to be okay. And it's not going to be okay just with me. It is going to be okay with my neighbor. It's going to be okay with my brother and my sister. That's the posture Jesus is sharing in Luke chapter 15. So we have this posture in worship. We recognize that God is a God of value. He's worthy. And He shares some of that value and worth with us. And so we share that value and worth with each other as well. We value each other. No matter what your background, no matter what the weaknesses that you are struggling may be, we value each other because God is a God of value out of His great and incredible love for us. So the writer of Hebrews describes some of this practical implication of having hope, having this hope that understands that God is for us, not against us. And so we should live a life for each other and not against each other. And we'll see some more of this later when we read from Romans chapter 15. But right now, I want us to look at Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm breaking into the thought here. The writer of Hebrews in this particular passage, chapter 10, was contrasting the value and the power of the sacrificial system in Israel before Jesus came with the one and effective or once and for all sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. The writer of Hebrews was contrasting the effectiveness of the various bodies used in sacrifice, the shedding of blood in sacrifice, you know, whether by sheep or doves or various any of the various ways that were required for sacrifices in the Hebrew Bible, versus the one body of Christ on behalf of all of humanity, past, present, and future. And so I'm breaking into this thought here. The writer of Hebrews is arguing that Jesus' sacrifice, Jesus' body, is so much more superior. Jesus' shed blood is so much more precious and superior and accomplishes that which the old sacrifices could not and would never be able to. And he's saying, as a result of this understanding, again, describing the nature of God, because God voluntarily gave his son, and his son voluntarily gave up himself in this process out of love. You know, because of that, some people say God loves us more than he loves himself. Theologically, I really don't want to go there yet, but it is meant to describe the depth of the love of God. I'm not sure whether that is a very human way of describing it when some say that God loves us more than he loves himself. I don't think there's a basis for making that kind of a comparison, but it is meant to show the depth and degree of the nature of love that God is. And so in verse 23, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says this: let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Now, what have I been saying all along? I said that hope flows out of this relational knowledge of the promises of God. And we read 2 Corinthians 1 and verses 19 to 20 to establish that. But I also went on to say that the promises of God flow out of who he is, his character, and his nature. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, if we know and understand this, then we will hold on to, without wavering, the hope that we profess. Why? Because we know that he, God, who promised, is faithful. And one of the things that we need to understand is that hope affirms faith. You cannot really have hope without faith. Hope affirms faith, because faith is this belief and trust that we have in God. And we'll talk some more about faith as we go on with this series. And then the writer of Hebrews continues in verse 24. And let us, as a result of holding on without wavering to this hope that we profess, as a result of our relational knowledge of the faithfulness of the one who makes promises to us, in verse 24, he says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So hope is not meant to be individualized. It's not meant to be contained just within ourselves. He's saying that this hope is supposed to lead us to reach out to others and help one another, supporting one another, encouraging one another for what? Good works and for love. Verse 25, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day is a reference to the return of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus, with the fullness of all the promises that are in him. But he's saying, let us not forsake the getting together, assembling of ourselves together. In other words, hope that results in worship is not individualized. We share it. There is a communal or community involved. And we should not just, what's the right word? We should not consider it something that is of no value, the importance of getting together with fellow hopeful believers. The writer of Hebrews saying, don't do that. Don't be like those who do that. Consider getting together an important expression of the hope that you have. Consider getting together an important aspect of encouraging and supporting and helping one another to good deeds and to love. Consider getting together one of the important ways that we share the hope that God has given to us. We share it with others who may not have it yet. And we do this together. You know, I've often said that Christianity or faith is personal, but not private. It is personal, but it is not private. It is meant to be communal. It is meant to be shared. It is meant to be given. And if you have hope, friend, then you want to spread that hope. You don't want to bottle it inside of you. You want to give it out, share it to people who are also looking for it. And I can promise you, there are a whole bunch of folks out there looking for hope. That is part and parcel of the gospel message. To share the gospel is to share hope. And the writer of Hebrews is reminding us of that. And he's saying, or she, as some scholars believe it was a woman that wrote Hebrews. The writer of Hebrews is saying that we do this together. So worship is not just an individual thing, as what I said earlier and came to Hebrews, but it's a communal thing as well. It's a corporate thing as well. It is an individual in community thing that we do, worship, springing out of hope, which springs out of our relational knowledge of the nature, the character, and promises of God revealed in Jesus Christ. So, this hope leads us to helping and supporting each other in being hospitable to one another, serving one another, encouraging one another, not forsaking to assemble together, living, praying, praising, learning, and growing together, being better together in Jesus, better in being his image bearers, better in being his messengers of the good news that he is and brought, being better in being reflectors of his light, of his love, being better in helping, forgiving, encouraging, comforting, supporting one another, mourning with those who mourn, rejoicing with those who rejoice. That's what hope helps us to do. That's what hope is meant to help us achieve. In the face of the challenges and difficulties of life, hope keeps us going. Because of who God is in Christ, and because of our shared hope and shared life. So we have what we call avenue champions in our coordinators in our congregation. For the Hope Avenue, which we are talking about today, as well as the Faith and the Love Avenues, driving our vision and mission. And I had a conversation with our Hope Avenue coordinator or champion, Richard, about this, about some of the practical implications of living out our hope as we share hope with each other in the area of worship. And I want to share that conversation that I had with Richard with you today. It's a short, relatively short video clip. And then I'll come back and then we will conclude. Please stay with us. I am so glad to have here with me a very good friend, also a leader in our church. He is the Hope Avenue champion. Richard, how are you?
I'm feeling very good today, so I'm looking forward to visiting with you.
All right, so we are here just to have a friendly conversation about the Hope Avenue, the ministry avenue that drives our worship.
Yes.
So I just wanted to first ask, what is your understanding of Christian hope as it relates to an avenue for ministry, an avenue for service, an avenue for worship?
Boy, I don't think there's a greater need in this world right now and to have hope. We're faced a pandemic, and it's impacted everybody. Yeah. And the reality is, God is the only source of hope. And Jesus Christ personifies that very wonderful gift that God has put in us to live out and provide hope to this world. And so to me, I am so honored to feel that I have a part in helping our membership and then reach out to the community to provide hope. And so it's a really wonderful ministry that I feel I'm blessed to be part of.
All right. You said that Jesus is our hope.
Absolutely.
And that we do need that hope, especially this year.
Oh, yes.
This year, 2020. So what does that look like in our church life?
I like to call it the complete worship experience. And it starts even before we meet anybody. Mm. You know, people want to, what we call, kick the tires, kind of know who we are. And they observe that or find a little bit about us on our website. If they've been watching any of our social media, they've seen the sermons you've been giving. And our whole desire in our Hope Avenue is we want to make people feel welcome. That's you know, God is inclusive, and the body of Christ is inclusive. And we want people to know, no matter where you are in life, God wants to bring you into a relationship with Him where you are. And I tell people, you know, whether you're married or single, have a family or don't have a family, been to church all your life or never been to church, we want to welcome you and make you feel welcome. And more than ever, we want to give you hope and believe in a God who loves us. And so I would say, yes, that's our starting point.
Yeah.
We want to welcome people.
Amen.
And then when we have an opportunity, we want to allow you to experience what we feel, an outflow of hope, and that is worship. Yeah. Corporate worship is one of the greatest ways we can express what we feel as we grow in relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It just flows out of that desire and a belief. We hope in something that is greater than we are. Mm-hmm. That loves us. And so we do focus on worship in a dynamic way.
Yeah.
For a small church, it's just unbelievable how blessed we are to have such a gifted number of people to share in that wonderful ministry of worship. And when people come to our services, you know, we want to bring them into that worship experience in a way that lifts them up.
Yeah.
In our songs, we focus on who Christ is. I think it's affirming when we sing songs that tell us that God loves us, that God is for us. And that just lifts us up, and I think that's what we want to offer to the community that would be willing to join us.
Amen. Amen. As you were sharing, Richard, about, you know, the various gifts and talents in our praise team, both among the young people, the youth, and adults, I was also reminded that we are indeed a diverse church.
Absolutely.
Not only in terms of the gifts and talents, but just in terms of ethnicity, in terms of age groups, in terms of economic levels and so on. So quite a diverse church, and we're working together in hope.
Yes. That is exactly one of our strong features, I would say, that anybody coming to our church, they could feel welcome, they could feel they would fit in. No matter what that person that is thinking about joining, I can tell you, you would feel welcome.
All right.
And there's a couple of reasons why I can say that with confidence. Not only our diversity, but it's one of the things you've expressed over the last few weeks that is a part of our welcome heart, is that we tell people, as you have, that God did not intend us to do life alone. And we want people to know that the church is like a hospital, a place for people to heal. And there's a lot of brokenness, there's a lot of doubts and worries and stress in this world. Mm-hmm. And where else can people find a place to be encouraged and lifted up? And it is within the body of Christ.
All right. That is so well said, Richard. So one of the ways that we are also diverse is we welcome single people, we welcome
Absolutely.
People with families. What does that look like?
First of all, we were shuttered, as many churches were, as COVID began. We decided that we would provide Zoom classes for our young people. We have classes that are age-related for very young people, and we have a class for our teens. Every one of these youth groups, they need connections. That's the big thing that we need to think about.
Yeah.
People can't really exist in isolation.
Yeah.
But not only that, we have prayer meetings, we have Bible studies, all done by Zoom right now. We desire to maintain that connection.
Thank you for sharing that, Richard. I know that you're not doing this all by yourself. And do you have a team that you work with?
That would be a big yes.
Yeah, okay.
It takes a lot of volunteers.
Yeah.
And I am, again, thankful that not only do I have a praise team that volunteers, but in the back part of the stage, in our media area, we have young people that run the board, so to speak, push buttons, put words on the screen. And so, yes, it is a community effort.
Correct.
We're thankful for what God has given us.
Yeah, we are indeed. And God's given us quite a lot.
He has.
What one thing are you looking forward to sharing or looking forward to seeing happen as the year ends or into 2021 that you are excited about?
Okay, you only asked for one, but I'm going to give you one and a half
I
can.
All right.
Obviously, the really big thing we want is to go back in-house. Our members are anxious to come back. It's our heart's desire to not only provide services for our members, but also a social media source for us ongoing as we provide what God has allowed us to do. So that's our goal. But my second really big goal, I think this world needs to celebrate. And there's no better time of the year. In fact, it's probably one of the biggest time of the year that people attend church is Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've already alluded to the fact we have so many talented people, I want to see us put on a beautiful Christmas service that we can invite the community to come to, that we could put it out on our social media, and we would give people a reason to celebrate. And there's no greater reason than to celebrate the birth of our Savior.
Amen to that. I look forward to that. I look forward to the opportunity of reminding us and as many people as possible the reason for the season.
Absolutely.
Right? Amen. Thank you so much, Richard. Thank you for taking the time to have this conversation with me. Really, I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.
So that was a conversation that I had with our Hope Avenue champion or coordinator, Richard. I hope that it was meaningful for you. In Romans chapter 15 and from verses 1 through 13, I'm going to just pick highlights from this passage of scripture. It talks about what hope is supposed to lead us into doing in the context of worship. So because we have hope in Jesus, as we worship, we are supposed to be exhibiting, manifesting these character traits that flows from God through His Spirit. Because again, as I said earlier, hope is not meant to be contained in us. It's meant to be shared. And Richard shared some of what that means as this hope is shared in the context of worship. The Apostle Paul, writing in Romans chapter 15, verse 1 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. So right here, Paul is suggesting that living a life of hope means not living a selfish life. It means being aware of the needs of others, especially those who are more vulnerable, and being willing to help and to share and to bear the burdens that others may have. That self-sacrificial attitude that we commend our veterans for. He's saying that hope leads us into caring for others. Verse 2, each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. That's what hope does, and that's what we seek to do at Grace Communion Riches, no matter what our backgrounds may be. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. So you understand where this is coming from. So our ability to help one another, to support one another, to be there for the weak, to be there for the struggling, is because of Christ, because of our relational knowledge of the nature of Jesus, that he helped others. He did not live a life for himself, Paul explains. For even Christ did not please himself, but, as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So one of the important value of scripture is that it tells us who God is, and out of that we have hope. We begin to have a relational knowledge of the goodness of God, of the sovereignty of God, of the graciousness of God, of the love of God, of the forgiving nature of God, of the welcoming nature of God. And as a result of that, we have what? Hope. We have hope because we know that no matter how weak and desperate we are, the good, loving, gracious God is for us and not against us, and will lead us through whatever challenges that we face. We get this through the scriptures, Paul is saying here in verse 4. Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. Again, Christianity is personal but not private. It is an individual in community thing. And so Paul says we should have that attitude that Jesus had towards us, towards others, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we live the way we do. That's what it means to have our identity in Jesus. Verse 7, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. So Jesus is always our measure. Jesus is always our standard bearer. As I said earlier, Jesus is the banner of worship. He's the center of the center of worship. He's the core of the reason why we are in worship. So accept as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God, not to ourselves. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs may be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Again, this is all understood. You can see that, right, friend? It's all understood within the context of knowing and accepting the nature of God, the character of God, which leads to the promises that he has made towards us. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Verse 10, again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, verse 11, praise the Lord all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. Verse 12, and again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse, who is Jesus, will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. So here we see that hope, as I said earlier, is an occasion for celebration. It's an occasion for joy. It's an occasion for rejoicing. Again, we saw that in Luke chapter 15. All the three stories Jesus shared had rejoicing involved. And so as people of hope, we celebrate. Even in the midst of challenges, we rejoice. Even in the midst of challenges. Why? Not because we love suffering. No, we're not sadists. It's because we know and accept and understand the nature of the goodness of God who triumphs over whatever difficulties and challenges that we face. That's the cause of the rejoicing. That's the cause of the celebration. That in Christ, we win. And that's a reason to rejoice. Verse 13, let's conclude with this verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So hope motivates us to worship together, focusing on Jesus and glorifying God through our relationship of love with him and with others by the Spirit's power, guidance, and blessings. We don't do this on our own, but through the Spirit. Helping and encouraging one another and being better together as we look forward to a better tomorrow. That's what hope does for us. Celebrating the goodness of God and the hope he gives us together. Celebrating the goodness of God and the hope that he gives us together. We do this together, helping and supporting each other. So, my friend, what about you? Where do you go to renew hope? Where do you go for hope? Or better put, who do you go to for hope and to renew hope? What or who is the source of your hope? Do you have a support network, a community that encourages, helps, and supports you? A community that helps you and supports you as you encourage others and support others and comfort others? A community where you can do life with others and not alone. I pray you do. If you don't, I pray you reach out. You don't have to do life alone. I look forward to seeing you again next time as we journey together to know Jesus and to make him known and to share his hope with a world, a nation, a community, friends and family members, colleagues who desperately need his hope, his faith, and his love. Next time, I'm going to pause and talk about Thanksgiving. And then the following week, we'll continue with this series on We Are GCR. Please now join us, our praise team, that is, for a praise song. And by God's grace, I will see you next time. God bless you.
You and I will see me.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.